But we have one more seat over here on the end. How many of you have ever heard of the books, "The Hive of Busy Bees and No Hive of Bees"? Probably about half of them have bees.
And I like these books. The book I remember when I was growing up was "Hive of Busy Bees," but there's another one, "Another Hive of Bees." And I have a story I'd like to read from it. It's called "Watching the Cocoon," and the lesson from it is be patient. That's what it's about. So let's read the story. "Hey, Debbie," whispered Danny the next morning. "Are you awake?" "Yes, but isn't it kind of early? Let's not get up yet." "But maybe now we can make some plans for today," encouraged Danny. "How about finishing our butterfly collection today?" "That sounds like a good idea. We have most of the names on little pieces of paper, so now we can put them under the butterflies. Let's work on it right after breakfast." So after breakfast, that is just what they did, and they worked without quarreling. "It's lots of fun doing this together, isn't it, Debbie?" remarked Danny. "You know, Danny, I think we've learned several things this summer, but one important thing is that are learning to work together much better. I'm sure this pleases the Lord Jesus," she added as she fastened the monarch butterfly more securely in the frame. Both children couldn't help looking at its broken leg. Then they looked at each other. "That butterfly will be a real reminder for us," said Danny solemnly. "Yes," agreed his sister. "A very good reminder." Apparently it's talking about a chapter before that. I'm not sure what happened there. But before long, the children had all of the butterflies pinned in place. How nice they looked. They felt that the collection would be perfect if they just had one more butterfly. "Quick, let's go and catch just one more," suggested Danny. "I'm sure we can find one real easily." So outdoors, the twins ran. It had rained the night before, and Grandma had said they could go out barefooted. "Debbie, look at my footprints. This is great fun. I like to feel the mud squish between my toes." Debbie had as much fun as Danny. Finally, the twins settled down to find one more butterfly. But it wasn't so easy. Very few butterflies were flying around now, and those the children did see were just like the ones they already had. "Aw," complained Danny with his lip hanging lower and lower. "I thought there would be at least one different one around." Discouraged, he sat down on a log with his arms folded. Debbie thought he looked sort of like an unhappy king she had once read about in story. Just then, Tabby came walking gingerly across the yard so as not to get her paws muddy. She came over and rubbed herself against Danny's legs. Danny picked her up and put her on his lap. Immediately she started purring. Maybe he could not find a butterfly, but at least he could play with Tabby, the cat. Debbie did not give up so easily. She went all over the yard looking. She searched everywhere she could think of, especially around the flower beds. Sometimes she held up her arms and let the wind blow her across the yard. She felt sort of like a butterfly being blown about by the gentle breeze. "Hurry, Danny. Come quick. Look, there's something real odd looking down by my shoes. Maybe we can put it in our museum. Hurry." Quick as a wink, Danny had joined his sister in looking at the strange thing on the ground where Debbie had put her shoes. "Why, it's a cocoon," exclaimed Danny. "Imagine finding one of them. Hurry, let's take it to show Grandpa." "Grandpa, look," shouted Danny. "Look what we found." Debbie was just about to say that she was the one who had found it, but instead she asked, "What is it, Grandpa?" Oh, careful, don't mash it. It's a butterfly cocoon." Grandpa was as excited as the children. "Watch out," shouted Danny. "It's wiggling. It's alive. It's alive," he continued, jumping up and down. "You're right, Danny. It is alive," noted Grandpa with interest. "Maybe we can take it to the house and watch it come out in a few days." "Come out?" questioned Danny. "In a few days? Oh, I just can't wait. Let's help it out now." We need it now. Besides, it's probably suffocating in that thing. Let's open it right now. You know what? If they wanted that butterfly out now, to put it in their butterfly collection. But we don't know if it was the same kind or not, so we don't know if it would have been helpful even. Do you really think we should, Grandpa? Asked Debbie, rather hesitantly. Oh no, we must not help the butterfly out. It will come out by itself when it is ready. You see, children, it is God's plan. He made cocoons that way. Maybe Grandma will tell you a story about it tonight. I know she has a good story called Be Patient. That evening, after the children were ready for bed and were seated on the floor at Grandma's feet, Danny was the first to speak. Grandma, he said with a pout, I still can't see why Grandpa wouldn't let us open that cocoon. We could have helped that butterfly, and besides, we'd have our collection all finished. Now we have to wait. Grandma could tell by the look on his face he was really disappointed that he and his sister had not been able to complete their collection during the day. But Grandpa did say we could keep the cocoon upstairs and watch it, encouraged Debbie. That's something to be glad about. I'm not so sure, scowled Danny. By the time it tries to get out of that thing, it will be dead. If only we could help it. Grandma had been listening to the children discuss the cocoon. You know, children, she spoke with an understanding concern. It may be easy to feel as Danny does unless we know something of God's ways. I'm sure you have heard many times since you have become God's children that he teaches us lessons by problems and hard things he lets happen to us. God's ways help us to put our confidence in him, and they also help us develop patience. Oh, sighed Debbie, I guess I've never thought too much about that. Perhaps our story about Mr. Klein will be helpful to each of us, Grandma said as she made herself comfortable in her old rocking chair. Mr. Klein was a man who collected butterflies. He took his work very seriously. When he wanted a certain kind of butterfly, nothing could stop or discourage him. One day, he wanted a special butterfly, so he asked his friend, Mr. Johnson, to try his best to catch one and send it to him. Immediately, Mr. Johnson started looking. Every now and then, he saw one of these rare butterflies, but he was never able to catch it. The nearest he ever got was when he tried to capture one which had just been laying her eggs. He missed the butterfly, but he saw where the eggs had been laid. He watched them very carefully, hoping that they would hatch out safely. One day, when he came to look, he found his hopes had come true. Some eggs had hatched out. They had not hatched into butterflies, for butterflies are not born directly from eggs, but into larvae, or what we more often call caterpillars. Mr. Johnson very carefully took one of these caterpillars. He was so pleased to see that it grew fatter and fatter as it crawled around on the leaves which he had provided as food. Then came the day for the great change. The time had come for the larva to turn into a pupa. The caterpillar set to work to spin its cocoon. It drew from its own body the thin silken thread which it wound around and around itself. Soon it looked like a mummy in an Egyptian tomb. In fact, the cocoon seemed so much like a mummy that Mr. Johnson's daughter felt sure that it was really dead. But her father told her not to worry, for it was still alive. Of course, the little creature ceased to be a crawling caterpillar forever. Out of its shrunken body, though, it was to come forth a being which looked new and altogether different. They could not hurry the process, but had to wait with patience for the time when the pupa would open and the butterfly would come out. The days passed all too slowly. Would the exciting day never come? At last, Mr. Johnson noticed a change in the cocoon. The tip of it was slit open. This had been done by special teeth given to the butterfly for this purpose. Now the butterfly was ready to come out of the cocoon to show its beauty to the world. Mr. Johnson began to think of the joy that his friend Mr. Klein would have when he saw this rare butterfly. But it seemed the butterfly was having a most painful time struggling to get out of the cocoon. Mr. Johnson, who had once tried to get through a hedge by means of a hole which was too small for him, guessed how hard it must be for the poor butterfly to get out. It was trying its best to crawl through the narrow gap. It pushed and twisted, it wriggled and fought, it came out a little and drew back, and then moved forward again. But no, the crack seemed too small, it was a prisoner. Just like ours, emphasized Danny. Oh, but just a minute, Danny, interrupted Grandma. Mr. Johnson must have felt sort of like you do. But it was just about here that he made his great mistake. He was really quite a patient man, but on this occasion he could just not wait any longer. Besides, he was sorry for the poor suffering insect. It seemed to be passing through such pain in its efforts to get free. So Mr. Johnson took a small pair of scissors, and with great care, he made a tiny snip in the cocoon. This made the hole larger. It was now easy for the butterfly to wiggle out and be free. So out it came. It was relieved not to have to squeeze anymore. Mr. Johnson was relieved too, for he would not have to wait any longer. But his joy soon turned to concern. He looked at the butterfly. It was all damp and floppy. It could neither walk nor fly. Mr. Johnson and his daughter waited for the veins to fill up and for the wings to extend. But they waited to no purpose. It was clear there was something wrong, something very wrong. The butterfly flopped around trying to stretch its wings, but it was all in vain. The wings would not stretch. It would never fly. Mr. Johnson's daughter said that it looked like a wet umbrella with several broken ribs. What a disappointment. Mr. Johnson wrote to Mr. Klein to explain what had happened. He also asked him why the butterfly had turned out to be so crippled and ugly. Was it because he had taken it away from the others? Was it because the caterpillar had not been given the right leaves for food? What had gone wrong? Mr. Klein wrote back very kindly to tell Mr. Johnson that it was all his fault. No doubt, Mr. Johnson had meant well when he made it easy for the butterfly to come out. But really, he had been guilty of thinking that he knew better than God. For God, in his wonderful wisdom, had made this struggling on the part of the butterfly to be part of the process which makes the butterfly ready for flight. The tiny hole and the long struggle to get out were all necessary preparations for its beautiful future. By making things easy for the butterfly, Mr. Johnson had robbed it of any chance of life and glory. No pain, no glory. Or we might say, no patience, no glory. You see, children, God knows best, and he not only knows best in the life of a butterfly, but he also knows best in our lives. How often we want to ask God to make things easier for us. We want him to spare us from trouble or to take away the pain. True, if he did, we would have an easier time, but we would also miss the opportunity of growing more like the Lord Jesus and showing forth his glory to others. Oh, I see it now, exclaimed Danny. Grandpa was right. He did know. Hey, Debbie, don't touch our cocoon. We don't want any floppy, sick, and ugly butterfly. Thanks, Grandma. Now I think I can wait for the butterfly to come out by its own special way. And I think, added Debbie, we can have patience about some other things, too. It's good to know that God knows best. I shall always remember this good story, Grandma. Now I know we can trust God always to do the right thing. As Danny and Debbie went up the stairs, they were trying to guess what kind of butterfly the coon might reveal. So how many of you knew that the caterpillar spins a cocoon and hatches into a butterfly? Probably almost everybody. But that's how it works. And probably in between now and a couple months, you'll see a lot of caterpillars crawling around. And some of those will turn into butterflies and some will turn into moths, I think. That could be interesting to have, try to keep them alive. So, oftentimes, it's our parents that tell us that we have to wait for something. It might be that you have to wait until you're 12 to have a camera, or to be 15 until you ride your bike on the road. But each of your parents loves you. And if you remember that, it makes it easier to listen to them and to wait and for what they say is best. Yeah, it is much easier to wait when you know that they want what's best for you. So I picked this lesson today because, like Jim was saying when he was up here this morning, what he was sharing was important for him. And I think what Wendell was sharing was important for him and each of us. And what I was sharing was important for me. So learn some stuff. So that's why I shared that one in particular. And you can go back to your parents and remember the lesson if you can. It's an important one. So thank you.